Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur Brachos Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's marked Tosfos using the popular Gemara marking system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. On Daf Chof, we will begin with the Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Zeisim Shekovshon B'Tirpein Tohorim on the lower part of the page. The previous Tosfosim we have learned already as part of Daf Yutes. So the Tosfos Zeisim Shekovshon is dealing with something mentioned in the Gemara by Rav Popa in describing the generations before him in the time of Rav Yehuda, who had claimed that when he got to the topic in Maseches Uksin concerning the pickling of olives pickled with their leaves attached to them, those leaves, had they been attached to a raw olive, they would be called a yad. This is according to the pshat that we saw in Rashi. As a result of pickling them, the leaves become very flexible and no longer can serve as a yad, as Rashi had explained. So we now look at the Tosfos. Zeisim shekovshon b'tirpein Torah, pirush hakuntres. And we've used a house marking around hakuntres to contrast Rashi's pshat with the Nira Lefarish Pshat that you see two lines later, also noted with a house form. So Rashi explains, Kevan Shekovshon B'Kdeira, since the olives were pickled in a pot, B'Teilim Mituras Yad L'Hovi Tuma, they lose their yad, or handle, characteristic, and no longer will they conduct Tuma from some outside source to the olive itself. Veloi nihira. Tosfos doesn't approve of Rashi's pshat. The imkain, my high dekomer aloh. How do you explain the comment made concerning the case of the zeisim shekovshon, where it says shalo nichbishu elo lemareh? The leaves that were part of the pickling, after all, the leaves are not edible. So the leaves that were part of the pickling were pickled together with the zeisim for mar'eh purposes. So it says that the kvishas hazeisim with the leaves was for mar'eh. Well, if that's the case, ma nesinas tam yesh debatlinu mitoras yad. What is the connection between the explanation Rashi gives that by pickling them they lose their handle characteristic, when the source itself explains that the pickling of the leaves together with the olives was for appearance purposes? So you see that the issue is one of appearance, and that's the reason why they do not conduct Tuma to the olives themselves. That's why they're described as tahirin. So, hence, we are asking on Rashi's pshat, why talk about a handle when the nature of the discussion concerning the olives is that the leaves are there for visual purposes, appearance purposes. L'kach nira lefarish, t'tahirin mishum. The reason for the leaves being considered tohor when they're pickled together with the olives, mishum de'oisan olin, those leaves lo chashivi oichel, they're not considered food. She'enon ruyin lachila, they're not something that are edible. Elo al yedei oisok visho v'gedero. The only way that you could even think of the leaves, raw olive leaves, are not edible. They could become edible through the pickling process. Shelo. And we say shelo nichbashu elo lamara klomar ma shekova sholin imoin lo kofshon elo laharos shazeisim noim v'chadoshim u'mishum hochi tahorin. The presence of the leaves in the pickling was only for appearance purposes, to show that the olives that were put into the kvisha, into the pickling, were new, pleasant-looking olives. And that's why the leaves are tohor. Aval kovshon lios ruyin achila. If the leaves were put into the pickling together with the olives for the express purpose of eating the leaves, mishoshu misukonim l'ri'as achila temeim, then the story changes, and they would be makabel tuma, they'd be fit for absorbing tuma at the point that they become edible. So, according to Tosfos, the Mishnah that says Zeisin Shikovshin B'Tepeim Tahorin is very simply because the reason for the kvisha of the leaves was for appearance purposes and not to make them edible, even though they do become edible. However, if the express purpose of having the leaves pickled with the olives was to make the leaves edible, then at the point they become fit for eating, they would be subject to Kabbalas Tuma. Tlesar Misifta, Rav Popa had told Abaye that when we come to this particular topic that Rav Yehuda found so difficult, we have Tlesar Misifta. Rashi explained, amongst other things, he said 13 different ways of explaining the topic. Yesh Meforshim, Tosfos says, Tlesar Yeshivos Yesh Bonu, we have 13 Misifta are Yeshivas. That we have in our midst, Shebekiyim, that are expert in these areas. In other words, in the time of Rav Yehuda, these were viewed as very difficult areas of study. We have 13 yeshivas that are expert in these areas. Utleisu lav dafka, the number 13 is not literal. Eloloshen harogil bagemara, it's a common number cited in Talmudic expression. Kemo tleisar zuzi pshiti, an expression found in Maseches Chulin. For Rashi Pirush Be'inyan Acher, and Rashi explained a different explanation of Tlesar Mesifta, as we indicated earlier, 13 different ways of explaining. The next Tosfos, Uktanim Pturin Mikriyashma. We saw in the Mishnah at the bottom line, Noshim Vavodim Uktanim Pturin Mikriyashma. Pirush HaKuntris. Now, in our markings, you'll notice we have a crown shape around HaKuntris. A few lines later, a similar marking around Rabbeinu Tam, so in order to contrast the two shitas. So, Rashi says, on Koten Potter Mikriyashma, Koten Shigia Lechinuch, a Koten who is of educable age, he is exempt from being educated, trained in the recitation of Kriyashma. For lo nihiro, Tosfos does not like that approach. Daha perik lulav hagozol in Maseches Sukkah amrinon katan hayodei lishmor tefillin aviv chayav liknois lo tefillin. A child that knows how to maintain proper hygienic conduct, so the father of the child buys him tefillin, trains him in tefillin. Alma kishigil chinuch. You see from here that when a child reaches chinuch age, the shaychi bay tefillin, that tefillin becomes something that are appropriate. Chayov b'tefillin, the father has to buy him tefillin. Ubikriyashnami, kriyashmonami, yesh l'chayvo yoser mistoma. And if anything, if the father is obligated to be mechanech him, to educate him in tefillin, then all the more so in kriyashma. Mida ashkechon hasam, as one finds over there in Sukkah, it says, Kotn Hayodeh Ledaber, a child that reaches the age of speech, Oviv Melamdoi Torah, Uposuk Rishon Shel Kriyashma. Father teaches his child Torah, and the first posuk of Kriyashma. So we see in the Gemara that a father is expected to mechanech his child in an aspect of Kriyashma. So Rashi, who says that Ketanim Pturim Kriyashma are Ketanim that are of chinuch age, of educable age, that runs counter to the Gemara in Sukkah. V'nira l'Rabbeinu Tam, demayri b'katan shiloi higia l'chinuch. So in contrast to Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam feels that that which it says here, that Ketanim Ptur Mikriya Shema, are Ketanim that are not yet of educatable age. They are Lo Higiya L'Chinuch. Umiyu Seifa Dekotani V'Chayovin B'Tfila. The latter part of the Mishnah says that they, now the pronoun here is something that's central to our discussion, and we're going to see some flexibility in explaining what the pronoun is referring to, but for right now it says, and they are chayav in tefillah. So to speak about if the exemption in the reisha was a katan shelo higia l'chinuch, then the obligation in the sefer would be referring to the same individual. And you'd in effect be saying that a katan that's lo higia l'chinuch is chayav in tefillah, and that would be very difficult to say. So in the sefer that says v'chayavin b'tefillah, hoya ri roitzel loyma demayri b'katan shigia l'chinuch. Notice we've circled the ri and called him aleph. This will be in contrast to Rabbeinu Tam, who appears later with a circle, where we will call him Beis. So the Ri says that the Seifa is talking about a different case. In other words, it's talking about a Katan Shigia L'Chinuch, that a kid, a child of educable age, is to be trained in davening Shmon Esrei. Di lo higia lo hava lu l'chayvo b'tfila. If he's so young that he's not of chinuch age, there's no grounds for obligating him in tefila. V'loi nihiro. But Tosfos doesn't like the approach taken by the Ri. The Im Kane, if you say his approach, that the Seifa is talking about Higia L'Chinuch, the Seifa that says Chayav L'Chinuch is Higia L'Chinuch, then it's not balanced with the Reisha that Tosfos already explained was the Ptur Kriya Shema is called on Shaloi Higia L'Chinuch. The Im Kane lo havu luhu ktanim dumya denoshim vavodim. If you say that the explanation of Ketanim, as we said just now, it comes out then Ketanim are not going to be to get to the same as Noshim Vavodim Shepturin B'chol Inyan. In the case of Noshim and Avodim, when we say they are potter from Kriyashma, Noshim Vavodim and Ketanim are potter from Kriyashma, it comes out that the explanation of Ketanim is not going to match Noshim and Avodim. By Noshim and Avodim, they're potter, they're exempt on all, you know, all times. Any way you look at them, Noshim and Avodim are always exempt from Kriya Shema and Tefillin. Uktanim Einam Pturin Elo Bishelo Higia V'ein Yodea Lishmor Tefilav. When it comes to Ketanim, though, they're qualified, and we say they're potter only if they didn't reach educable age. That's as far as Kriya Shema. They don't have hygienic control with regard to tefillin. So this lack of evenness or consistency troubles Tosfos. Upirush Rabbeinu Tam, Devadai Airi Hakol Bekotan Shelo Higia L'Chinuch. Everything spoken about in this Mishnah is talking about a katan shelo higia l'chinuch. Now, that's as far as the reisha is concerned. V'chayovin de seifa, the expression in the seifa that says v'chayovin, and they, there's a pronoun, and they are chayov in tefillah. V'chayovin de seifa koi a noshim v'avonim l'chud is referring only to women and slaves. Avol ktanim pturin mikol v'chol kevan delo higia l'chinuch. But the ktanim that are referred to in this Mishnah, as we said before, the whole Mishnah is focused on a katan shelo higia l'chinuch. They will be exempt from tefillah because they haven't reached the age of chinuch. Kevan delo higia l'chinuch. That's the Rabbeinu Tam's approach. In other words, the Ri wanted to say that the Seifa of the Mishnah that speaks about Chayovin Betfila is referring to Ketanim, but referring to Ketanim, Shigia L'Chinuch. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says that Chayovin Betfilo that's mentioned in the Seifa does not touch upon Ketanim at all. And that Ketanim referred to in the Mishnah, when they are referred to, they are only Shelo Higia Lechinuch. So that the point of difference between the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam is that, according to the Ri, the Mishnah includes a point concerning a Katan Shigia Lechinuch, namely Chayovim Betfila. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the Mishnah does not interest itself whatsoever with regard to Ketanim Shigia Lechinuch. Now, Tosfos asks, V'im Tomar Im Kein Amai Tono Ketanim Bahadi Noshim Avodim, if Ketanim referred to in the Reisha is a qualified type, namely Katan Shigia Lechinuch, why is it taught together with Noshim Avodim? Kevon Dein Shovin can appreciate there's lack of consistency and balance. Namely, the cotton is potter in the cotton is potter if he's lo higia lechinuch, as opposed to if he were higia lechinuch, so he wouldn't be potter. Noshim and Avodim are potter under all circumstances, and in the Seifa, they're Chayav. So if we go over the problem of Tosfos with regard to the Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat, the following is the problem. It's this lack of consistency. What's the lack of consistency? Since the Mishnah is talking only about Ketanim that are Lohigia Lechinuch, so they are potter throughout the entire Mishnah. But Noshim and Avodim, they're not potter throughout the entire Mishnah. So why is it that Ketanim are taught alongside Avodim and Noshim when they lack this similarity? V'yesh lomar, dekein derech hatano lishnos yachad Noshim v'Avodim uktanim shelo yilachinuch. It's customary for the Tana, when he teaches about Noshim and Avodim, the Tana throws in Ketanim Shelo Higia Lechinuch as well. Kamo Noshim Avodim Ketanim Pturim Misuga, just like you find in other places in the Shas. So that since it's an accepted method of presenting Noshim and Avodim, so we're not going to raise the question of this lack of consistency that exists in the Mishnah, or lack of balance that we just mentioned. So as you review the different shitas we see in Tosfos, quoted in Tosfos of Rashi, the Ri, and the Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rashi, the Mishnah is speaking about an exemption of Ketanim from Kriyat Shema, even Higia Lechinuch. According to the Ri, there is a distinction to be made if it's a Katan Shehigia Lechinuch versus a Katan Shelo Higia Lechinuch. According to the Ri, the Seifa, where it says Chayovim Betfila, in fact, refers to a Katan Shigia Lechinuch. The Reisha, that says there's an exemption from Kriyat Shema, refers to a Katan Shelo Higia Lechinuch. But if he were Higia Lechinuch, he would be obligated, unlike Rashi. And finally, the Rabbeinu Tam said that the whole Mishnah is referring to Tanim Shelo Higia Lechinuch, that all references made in the Mishnah to Ketanim would be a Katan Shelo Higia Lechinuch. Just in the Seifa, when it says Chayovim Betfila, the Mishnah doesn't address Ketanim whatsoever. So that's the point of difference between the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam, where according to the Ri, Chayovim Betfila concerns Ketanim, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, it does not concern Ketanim. We continue to the Tosfos at the top of Amud Beis. Betfila Pshita. The Mishnah had mentioned that Noshim Avonim and Ketanim are, or Noshim and Avonim for sure, are Chayav in Tfila. And to that, the Gemara said, do I need the Mishnah to tell me that? That's obvious. So the response to that is, Kevon Dichsiv, since there's a Posuk in Tehillim, Nun Perik Nun Hei, Posuk Yudches, Erev Avoker V'Tzorayim Asicha Ve'ehemeh. So in the Posuk, you see specific times in the context of Sicho Ve'eme, which is a reference to Tefillah, K'mitzvah Taseh Shazman Gromo Havi. It makes Tefillah like a positive mitzvah with a fixed time. And as such, women would have been exempt. Komash Malon, hence the Mishnah by saying women are obligated in Tefillah, Komash Malon Derachmi Ninu. We are taught that they are chayav because it's because we pray for the mercy of the Almighty, and women need mercy as well. V'Rashi lo goris lei. Rashi does not have this text that we started off with in the Tosfos, where the Gemara, according to the Tosfos text, after asking the question of B'tfilah Pshita, the Gemara went on to, in the Tosfos text, to explain why it's not Pshita. According to Rashi, though, he doesn't have that Girsa. All that the Rashi Girsa has is, like we saw in our Gemara, the way we presented the Gemara, because of the Bach, who deleted the Girsa that Tosfos just mentioned. So the discussion in the Gemara is not one of question and answer, but rather, Chayav Mitfila, the Gemara says, Derach Mininhu. So, V'Rashi lo goris lei, sharei tfila derabonon hi. Rashi doesn't have this girsa that we saw just now in the Tosfos, because tfila is derabonon, it's rabbinic. Umay mitzvah saseh shaychi bei. What would the relevance of saying a mitzvah saseh? Mitzvah saseh is a positive command from the Almighty in His Torah. But the term mitzvah saseh would not be appropriate for something that's rabbinic. So that the text that Tosfos quoted on the second line from the top, K'mitzvah Saseh Shazman Groma Havi, that would not have been appropriate to use in the context of Tefillah to begin with. That's Rashi's reason for not having that Girsa. Omikomakom, at this point, Tosfos starts a point, which we've indicated with a long point marking, that starts here till the end of the Tosfos. Omikomakom, Yesh Liashev. There still is room for reconciling the girsa that was quoted in the Tosfos. Daha halel derabanan. We know that halel is something to be recited based on rabbinic ruling. V'noshim pturos mehai taima, and women are exempt from the recitation of halel, which is something recited on specific holidays. Women are exempt for this very reason. The mitzvah saseh shazman gromahu kiramin besuka, where it says in Masechet Sukkah, Mishoya Eved, V'isha, Oy Sha O Koton, Makrin Oso, a person that was incapable of reading the Hallel, and he had an Eved, a slave, a woman, or a minor reading for him, Oyne Achareyan Mashehem Omrim, he shall recite word for word that which they say, the Ein Hashomea Poter Mikriyoson. Even though there's a rule of Shomea Ka'one, that one who listens to someone fulfilling a mitzvah, who listens to the recitation of whatever passage needs to be recited, the listening is a means of gaining exemption. However, Kevon Sheheim Pturin, here in this case, the reason in Masechet Sukkah it says that someone who is being read the Hallel, he, the listener, has to repeat every word and cannot rely on Shomea Ka'one, because that mechanism of Shomea Ka'one works only if the one who is Mashmia, the one who is saying it, is himself someone that's obligated. But since they are Potter, Noshim and Avodim and Ketanim, so the listener cannot be Yotze just by listening, but has to repeat the words after them. But what we see here in this point is that the term Mitzvah Saseh is an appropriate term even when dealing with something that's purely rabbinic in nature, like the example Tosfos cited, like the Hallel. Namely, the recitation, the requirement of reciting Hallel is a rabbinic requirement. So after all said and done, you have a appearance of two deos in the Tosfos. Does the term mitzvah saseh, shazman groma, apply to something that's purely rabbinic? Istigarsi, b'birkas hamazon. Some have in the Gemara a girsa when the Gemara relates to the birkas hamazon mentioned in the Mishnah, they have a girsa pshita that the women are chayovos in it. Umishani, and there is an answer. Kevon dechsi b'seis Hashem lochem bo'erev boser leachol v'lechem abokulus boya. Since there is a pasuk regarding meal times as being fixed, therefore the Birchas Hamazon, which comes on the heels of a meal, is kimitzvah asei shazman gromahu. One would have thought that it's like a positive mitzvah that's bound by time. Komashalon, therefore the Mishnah had to tell us that noshim are chayovos in Birchas Hamazon. Noshim beBirchas Hamazon, the Raisa Drabonan. Pirush Bekuntras, we used a diamond to highlight Rashi in contrast with the Yesh Lomar expression later, which represents Tosfos' Hesber after raising a question on Rashi. So the Gemara had said regarding Noshim and their relationship to Birchas Hamazon, is it on a Doraisa level or is it on a rabbinic level? Pirush Bekuntras, Tesalka Daitoch, Kevon the Sakadaitoch Delo Mechaivi Midoraisa. I would have thought, or there was room to think, that women are not Torah obligated in Birchas Hamazon. Mishum Dechsiv Al Horetz Hatoiva. It says Al Horetz Hatoiva in the pasuk that deals with Birchas Hamazon, where it says Vilchata Vesavata Uveirachta Es Hashem Elokecha. V'Noshim Lo Notlu Chelik Ba'aretz. Women did not receive a portion in the division of the land. Therefore, to say that we are blessing the Kodesh Baruch Hu Al Ha'oretz HaToiva on the land that He gave us, women didn't receive a portion. You'll say, well, the daughters of Slavchad received a portion. Well, Chelek Avihim Notlu. They took the portion due to their father. It's not something they got on their own merit. So, that's the Svora to suggest that women are not chayev in Birchas Hamazon d'oraisa. That's Rashi's pshat, once again, because women did not receive a chelik in the land, and receipt of land is integrally tied up with recitation of Birchas Hamazon based on the psukim. The tema, but a question is raised. Kohanim ulevim nami tiboi. You could ask about Kohanim ulevim as well. Are they chayev in Birchas Hamazon d'oraisa d'rabbanan? Share lo notlu chelek boretz. They did not receive a portion in the land either. The im kain lo yotziu achirim yedei choyvos and birchas hamazon. Are you therefore going to conclude, like we concluded by women, that since they are, since we suggested that they are derabbanan, so they can't be motzi others? So are you going to say the same thing by Kehanim and Levim, since they didn't receive a portion of land, their whole chiyuv is not going to be deraisa, and therefore they cannot enable others to fulfill their birchas hamazon obligation? Elo, and that's far fetched to think that a kohen or levi cannot lead the birchas hamazon, when we know so many sources that dafka a kohen is expected to be the one that leads in the birchas hamazon. So, and leads, when we say leads, it means he recites and others listen. Shomeach, and they'll yosei through shomeach kohene. But if you'll say that their level is, or that if you say by women they are only rabbinic because they didn't receive a portion of land, you're going to end up saying the same thing about kohen levim, thereby barring them from being motzi others, which is ridiculous. Elo yesh lomar. The taimo, the reason regarding the Birchas Hamazon to consider the women only rabbinic is mishum dichtiv al brischa shechasamte bivsoenu v'al teroscha shilmadetano, because it says those things also regarding the bris milah and the Torah that you taught us in the context of Birchas Hamazon. V'noshim lesnehu lo b'bris v'lo b'torah. Women are not circumcised and women are not obligated in Torah learning. V'amrinu lekamon mi shelo omar bris v'torah bebrichas hamazon lo yotza yedei chavasa. And it's also mentioned later in the Masechta that one who did not make mention of bris or Torah in the brichas hamazon, he hasn't fulfilled his brichas hamazon requirements. The hashta kol mibayalei, and now the question is, we have to restate the issue concerning the analysis of women, not like Rashi suggested, that the explanation suggesting that women are rabbinic is because they didn't receive a portion of land, that falls away because of the Kayanim Leviim argument. So then what is the issue? So Tosfos explains, Kevon Dolo Motsu Lumema Bris V'Torah, since women cannot say Bris and Torah, Lo Havu Elo Midrabanan. So these elements, they're not mitzuvis in Bris, and they're not mitzuvis in Talmud Torah, so they can't say regarding our Bris and our Torah that we learn. So since they don't say it, and we said that the recitation of those points is binding in Birchas HaMazon, so Lo Havu Elo Midrabanan, then the maximum level of obligation that women could achieve is rabbinic, because they cannot say on a purest basis, they can't make reference to Bris and Torah, and one who doesn't say those things isn't Yotze. Oy Dilma, or possibly another analysis, Kevon Dolo Shayech Behu, since Bris and Torah are not connected to women are not don't relate to those things. They're disconnected from those things, Bris and Torah. So Have Shapir Doraisa. Women could still be on a Torah level. In other words, when is it that we say he who doesn't say Bris and Torah Birchas HaMazon isn't Yotze? That's someone who is connected to those things and doesn't say it. But women who are not connected to those things in the first place, it doesn't become an integral part of their Birchas HaMazon association. Hence, they could still be on a Torah level, being that those factors are not binding. The which we mentioned already, but that which is that we just quoted from the Gemara later, that he who doesn't say Bris and Torah, that's Mayri Banoshim. That's referring only to males. The Shaychi Bivris V'Torah, they have a connection to Bris and Torah. So as we said, in contrast to women, men who have a connection to Bris and Torah, if they don't make reference to it in the Birchas HaMazon, so they're not Yotze. Women who aren't connected to Bris and Torah, their lack of mentioning it wouldn't make a difference with regard to their being Yotze. So as we see in this Tosfos, the issue concerning women, are they Chayv D'Oraisa Rabbanan? Rashi gives us the explanation of why maybe they're not Chayav D'Oraisa, and that's because of they can't say Al Oretz HaToiva because they didn't get a Chelik in it. Tosfos asked on that, what about Kohen Levim that also didn't Chelik, but yet they are quite Chayav in Birchas HaMazon? So then, what must be the explanation of women being only rabbinic? So Tosfos came up with his pshat, because women are not associated with Bris and Torah, which are integral parts of the Birchas HaMazon, and that may be the reason that they are not Chayav Midoraisa. Balkeri, the next Tosfos, Balkeri, Mahara Belibo, V'eino Mevorech, Loi Lufoneo, V'lo Lachreo. This is a reference to the Mishnah on the lower part of the page, where someone who is a Balkeri, a male who experienced a male emission, so he recites Kriya Shema without verbalizing it. In other words, he thinks about Kriya Shema, it's called Mahara Belibo. And as far as the brachas of Kriya Shema, that he doesn't deal with even Belibo, the brachas before and after the Kriya Shema. So Tosfos says, when the Mishnah says he's not mevorech lofanev lachro, pirsha filu bihur, even through hirur, he doesn't mention or think, he doesn't say those brachas. Kira mashma begemora, as is mashma in the Gemara. Vahainu taimo desharino tve bekriya shma bi brachos, and the reason for our allowing hirhur by kriyashma more than the brachos mishum the kriyashma doraisa ubrachos derabbanan. Kriyashma is a Torah level obligation mitzvah. Therefore, we can't disconnect the Baal Keri altogether, so we say he's maharher. Brachos, which are only rabbinic in the first place, so the rabbis will tell you, and they can tell you, we don't want the Baal Keri being maharher in them. Vafilu l'man d'omar kriyashma d'rabbonan. The issue of what level obligation does kriyashma have is actually a machlokas in this masechta. So according to the opinion that says that kriyashma is rabbinic, that the obligation of recitation of kriyashma is purely rabbinic, Hainu hecho dehizku yitzias Mitzrayim. That's true when another or an outside reference to yitzias Mitzrayim is made by the individual, thereby accomplishing maskir yitzias Mitzrayim without having to say the kriyashma. Whatever is left regarding kriyashma is only derabbanan. Avol masnisin shelo hizkir yitzias Mitzrayim. And our Mishnah, the relation that we have to kriyashma is going to be on a Torah level, since he doesn't mention in the brachos, he's not allowed to mention the brachos, so he doesn't mention Yitzhak's rhyme in an outside context. Shelo hitiru lo lomar emes v'yatsiv, and therefore v'have kriyashma doraisa v'emes v'yatsiv durabonan. Because he's not allowed to even mahar in the brachos kriyashma, so he's not going to be mentioning Yitzhak's Mitzrayim in the emes v'yatsiv. What happens now is that Kriyashma becomes Doraisa because of the third paragraph of the Kriyashma that has in it Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that for the Baal Keri, Kriyashma is Doraisa, and Emes V'yatziv would be only rabbinic. Sharei, why is Emes V'yatziv, which contains also passages of Yitzias Mitzrayim, why is it rabbinic? Sharei Hiski, Yitzias Mitzrayim, but Kriyashma, because he has already mentioned the Yitzias Mitzrayim in his Hirhur of Kriyashma. The Ein Lahakshos, and don't ask or raise the following suggestion, Nisakein, the Lemo Emes V'yatziv Velo Lemo Kriyashma. Why not have them establish that the Baal Keri should say the Emes V'yatziv, or Maharo the Emes V'yatziv, and not Kriyashma? And if that be the case, so then Emes V'yatziv becomes Doraisa. So the reason not to say that is the ha odif, the lemo kriyashma. It's better that the Baal Keri is maharin kriyashma. The is beit nami malchus shemayim. Not only is there yitzias Mitzrayim in there, but there's also acceptance of oil malchus shemayim, giving the kriyashma a greater standing than emes v'yatziv. Yoytzi b'svasov. So it was mentioned according to Ravina that Hirur kedibur domi, so why doesn't he just articulate it? If Hirur is like dibur, so let the Baal Keri speak to verbalize the words. Kevan deshorisli Hirur afal pi shuhu kedibur le'inyan lotseis yidei kriyashma kemochein mikri dibur le'inyan de mikri oisek b'tera. Just like Hirur is considered like speech regarding Kriyashma, so Hirur would be like speech regarding learning of Torah. And since we are allowing him to maharer, even though he's a Baal Keri, Tatir lo gam dibor. This is part of the hesber of the question. So why not have the Baal Keri speak it out, verbalize it as well? So to this, the Gemara answered, Kida ashkechon besinai. That even though Hirur kedibur domi, we're not going to allow him to verbalize, to actually verbalize the Torah words, the mitzvah words, that which the passage that he needs to say, pirush afagav de kedibur domi linyan shiyotza, even though it's like speech in so far as his being able to fulfill his mitzvah requirements, mikomokom lav kedibur domi linyan she balkeri osu laharer. However, Hirur is not like dibur to the extent that just like a Baal Keri is usur to verbalize Torah words, he should also be proscribed from thinking Torah words. That far we do not go. And what's the basis for this distinction? Kid'ashichon b'sinai, d'hoya sham dibur, v'yitzricha nitbol. There, by Sinai, there was actual speech, and for actual speech, there is the need for immersion. But without actual speech, there is no need for immersion. And that's what we are talking about here. A person who's a Baal Keri, he hasn't gone to mikveh, he is able to be maharer. Based on the idea, just to repeat ourselves, based on the idea of the need to parallel our practice to Sinai. By Sinai, the whole hakpoda, the whole necessity of mikveh was for a dibur experience. But for a pure hirhur experience, like is the case that we are dealing with, tevila would not have been necessary. V'avapi shehoyu shoskin. You might say, well, where was the speech? You just said there was speech at Sinai. Where was the speech at Sinai? They were silent. They were listening to the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah presentation. Nevertheless, shoymea ke'oine. Therefore, their silence by Sinai while listening to the Almighty, or Moshe Rabbeinu, as well, that type of silence is like speech because of the principle of shoymea ke'oine. However, where you are not a shomea koine, you're simply sitting by yourself in mahara belivoi, that's a lower level of concern, and therefore there is no mikveh requirement, and an actual Baal Keri could be mahara. Rav Chista Omar, lav kedibur dami. In our Gemara we saw Rav Chista, the second house form, he was arguing on Ravina. Ravina said that hiru kedibur dami. Rav Chista says hiru lav kedibur dami. Rach piresh talocha k'Rav Chista. And by saying that hiru lav kedibur, we're concluding that one does not fulfill dibur type mitzvahs, speech mitzvahs through hiru. So the Rach explained that talocha is like Rav Chista. Why? Why do you choose Rav Chista? And it could be that the underlying point here is that Rav Chista was an earlier authority than Ravina, and generally speaking, we say halachic kebasra. So why would the Rach paskin like Rav Chista? And that's because in the Gemara we saw preoccupation with his opinion. Midetartzi Rav Ado v'Rav Elozer lemilsei, since Rav Ado and Rav Elozer explained Rav Chista, straightened out Rav Chista, Shmami Nei Kavosei Kaimi. So we learn from this that we are going to hold like Rav Chista. V'lo Yetzei B'Kriyashma B'Hirur. One will not fulfill Kriyashma through Hirur based on Rav Chista's ruling that Hirur Lav Kedibur Domi. So to summarize or to restate the thesis, the reason for opting to paskin like Rav Chista is because you see extensive Amoraic preoccupation with his shita, showing us that other Amoraim also hold like Rav Chista, giving it more legal weight, and therefore the Rach can paskin like Rav Chista. And we added a chiddush that even though Rav Chista was an earlier authority than Ravina, nevertheless, because of this consideration, is that we see other Amoraim accepting Rav Chista's approach by virtue of the fact that they were trying to straighten things out for his pshat, that's the way to go. We continue on Daf Chof Aleph at the top, and the reason for our continuing is because the next couple of Tosfosim were part of the Gemara that we already learned as part of Daf Yomi, Daf Chof of Brachas. So the Tosfos at the top are Reitfila, the Dovor Shatzibur v'chulei. In the discussion following Rav Chista's pshat that hiru lav kedibur, the Gemara explained if it's lav kedibur dami, so why does the Baal Keri mahara b'kriyashma? So the Gemara had explained we don't want a situation where everyone is involved with kriyashma and he's sitting botel, sitting doing nothing. And why specifically Kriyashma? So Rav Abba said, because that is what the rest of the people are occupied with. The Gemara then asked, well, what about Tefillah, where we see other people are occupied with it, and yet the Baal Keri is excluded altogether from Tefillah? So in asking the question on Dover Shatzibur Asukinbo, the Gemara chose to raise a question from the non-hearer of Tefillah. Tosfos asks, why go to that source when you could have stayed within the topic of Kriyat Shema itself? In other words, we were contrasting Kriyat Shema with Tefillah. Why not contrast Kriyat Shema with something that's taught in the Mishnah together with Kriyat Shema, namely the Brachos themselves, and ask from the Brachos standpoint that if the insistence on the Baal Keri saying the Kriyat Shema through Hirur is because it's Dovasha Tzibu Asukinbo, so then why don't we expect them to be Mahara in the Birchas Kriyat Shema also? Why did the Gemara go to a more distant realm, namely Tefillah, when a moment ago we were in the midst of Kriyat Shema? And you could have asked the same question about, is it not so that the Tzibu is Oisik in Birchas Kriyat Shema, and yet the Baal Keri doesn't Mahara in the Birchas Kriyat Shema? The Imtomar Tosfos, Amai Shovak Bova the Kriyat Shema, the Koi Begavah. Why did the Gemara leave aside the Bovas, the section dealing with Kriyat Shema? The Dover Shatzibur Asukinbo, Kriyat Shema was to be read through here by the Baal Keri because of this factor. The Kotoni and the Mishnah regarding Kriyat Shema, in the context of Kriyat Shema, the Mishnah said, Eino Mevorech Lefoneo, the Baal Keri is not Maharer in the Brachas before nor after. And at that, and regarding that, the Gemara could have asked, well, what about the Brachas, which is a Dovar Shatzibur Asukinbo? Why did the Gemara step out of the immediate topic and raise Tefillah as the question? Venira, so the Tosfos explains, V'yesh Lomar, third line from the top, V'yesh Lomar, Mishum Rabusa the Tefillah Porach Mineh, because in asking from Tefillah there's a bigger chiddush, there's a bigger point of novelty, namely, Afagav the Tefillah Me'umad, even though Tefillah, Shemot Esrei, is recited while standing, V'nira Lakoil, She'ein Ze Oimei Kemoisom, and it's obvious to everyone, it's visible to everyone that the Baal Keri, who is exempt wholly from Tefillah, he's not going to be standing like the rest of the people, so he really looks different. Afilu hochi amrinon im lo hischil lo yaschil, even though he really is a sore thumb, he looks so different than everyone else, the insistence on keeping him separate remains, that if he didn't start the Tefillah, he is not to be maharer in the Tefillah. So that, what do we see? That the question from Tefillah has a stronger or more extreme element to it, that if the concern is Dover Shatzibur Asukinbo, that gives license to the Baal Keri, well then you see that it doesn't work in Tefillah, and it doesn't work in the extreme, insofar as it's obvious that he's not doing Tefillah, he's sitting down. So whatever happened to the consideration of Dover Shat Sibu Asukinboy? So as we said, the introduction of Tefillah to this discussion represented a bigger chiddush than had it spoken about Birchas Kriyat Shema. Because we cannot, just from looking at it from another angle, if the Gemara had introduced Birchas Kriyat Shema that the Baal Keri doesn't say, there would have been room, though, to think that by Tefillah, the Baal Keri would be Maharer in it, because otherwise he will look different. But in the final analysis, we're saying the chiddush of Tefillah is that even though he's going to look different from everybody else, we still don't care, and he is not to be Maharer in Tefillah. V'im tomar, kevon de lo yoda taimo de besomuch. You can ask here that at this point in the Gemara discussion,
We don't yet know the maskona that Kriyat Shema and Birchas Hamazon, they are Doraisa. Therefore, that's according to the maskona, therefore the Baal Keri is Mahara in those things. Tefillah, which is the Rabbanon, so the Baal Keri is not Mahara. So, being that we don't know that time, that Hezber yet, Yikshe Dam L'Ravina. This whole, the questions that were raised against Rav Chisda's comment could have been raised in the context of Ravina, who was presented earlier in the Gemara. Namely, after Ravina, who said, here were Kedibur Domi, and that's why the Baal Keri is Maharer in Kriya Shema. So, we should say more accurately, according to Ravina, the hearer of the Baal Keri is considered Kedibor. Ma li Kriya Shema u'Birchas Hamazon Yoser Mitfila. We could have asked this according to Ravina. Why is there more emphasis placed on Kriya Shema and Birchas Hamazon more than Tefillah? So why does the Gemara raise these questions of the differences between Kriya Shema and Tefillah in the context of Rav Chisda when it could have asked these questions in the context of Ravina? The Yesh Lomar de la Ravina Nicha, it's more easily understood why in the case of Ravina the issues of Tefillah contrasted with Kriya Shema were not raised. Kevon de Hirur Kedibur Domi, since according to Ravina, Hirur is Kedibur, Yesh Lahatzricho b'Kriya Shema b'Birchas Hamazon, we should necessitate the Hirur by Kriya Shema and B'Birchas Hamazon. It's obvious that there we should necessitate it. Shehem midoraisa yoser mitfila derabbanan, because they have a higher level of obligation. Namely, they are Doraisa, more so than Tefillah, which is only Rabbinic. So that it's obvious when you're learning Ravina, the difference, the distinction is obvious. Therefore, it wasn't part of the discussion. But when we get to Rav Chisda, Kevon de Hirur Eino Klum, since Hirur is not halachically worth anything, so Rak Shelo Yehe Yoshivu Batel, the only reason that the Baal Keri is Mahara is only that he shouldn't appear to be non-involved. So Ma Li Kriya Shema Ma Li Tefillah. So then why any difference between Hirur by Kriya Shema, which the Mishnah says he does do, and Hirur by Tefillah, which we're taught that he does not do? So that under Rav Chisda there was good reason for raising these questions. Good reason for the Gemara to raise these questions, namely concerning Tefillah and Birchas Hamazon. The next Tosfos is explaining the inference made by the Gemara from the source of the Baal Keri, who was in the middle of Tefillah and remembered it was Baal Keri. So we said, Ha I lo aschil lo yaschil. If the Baal Keri didn't begin the Shemoneh Esrei, he shouldn't start. V'im tomar, emo de bedibur ka'omar. Why not say that this source, that from which we inferred that if he didn't begin, he shouldn't start, maybe all that means he shouldn't start with speech. Ha behirur shapir dummy. When you learn the source and its inference, maybe behirur would have in fact been okay. Yet the Gemara is using the inference from this source as a kasha concerning hirur. Namely, by tefillah we find that he does not even do hirur. So Tosfos is asking, how are you so sure about that? Maybe all that we are to conclude is that the Baal Keri doesn't verbalize the tefillah, but hirur would have been all right. Yesh loma de mashma, the implication of the expressions here, de mashma de lo yaschil, when it says in our Gemara the inference that ha lo aschil lo yaschil, that lo yaschil sounds of ilu behirur mashma, that's even behirur he shouldn't start. The lo ka'omar, from the fact that the following expression was not used, it didn't say yekatzer b'dibor, namely if he was in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and he remembered he was a Baal Keri, so it could have said yekatzer b'dibor. In other words, he should shorten the amount of time he's speaking, oy yaharer barichus, or that have long term heroes. So it didn't say that at all. the expression of lo yaschil implies the extreme, lo yaschil, not to start even behirur. Hachi garsinon elo kriyashma birchas hamazon do raisa utfilo derabonon. So that's the girsa that we have at the end of the end of our sukya. Veloy garsinon midi boser hachi. Nothing else should be in the text. Ad omar vidomar rav. And in our Gemara, that's the way things appear. That after reading the words utfilo derabonon, the next thing you see is omar vido omar rav. Upirisha kuntris kriyashma d'oraisa kevon she'eno oimer emes v'yatziv kedepirish b'masnisin. Or the kriyashma for the Balkari is d'oraisa because he is not saying emes v'yatziv as the Mishnah says. That now v'yesh svarim gorsim kriyashma d'rabonon hu. There are sforim that have a different text in it, namely kriyashma is rabbinic. Umishani. Now, if kriyashma is rabbinic, so then the question comes back: then why is it that the Balkari is mahari in kriyashma and not in tefila, which is also rabbinic? Umishani. Elo kriyashma is bo malchus shamayim u birchas hamazon nikros doraisa. Kriyashma, though it's rabbinic, has another unique facet to it, in that it involves acceptance of the yoke or the kingdom of the Almighty, and Berchas HaMozon is Deraisa. Utfila, on the other hand, Derabonon. Tfila is purely Derabonon, and therefore no Hirhur. V'chein HaGirsa V'Pirush HaKuntris. That's the Girsa that Rashi has. In fact, the Rashi that we have suggests three different approaches, a couple of different gursals you find, and Sotosis is referring to one of those. V'koshe, d'v'masnisin pirish, the Rashi explained that in the Mishnah, Rashi on the Mishnah explained, the kriyashma d'oraisa le kuleyama, that kriyashma is d'oraisa according to all opinions, kevon sheloi omar emes v'yatsiv, d'v'hochi mayri masnisin. So to have a girsa saying that, well, kriyashma is the rabbonon, and the reason for his being mahar is because it's all malchus shemayim, that is a difficult girsa because it was explained because Rashi on the Mishnah explained that kriyashma was doraisa because he is not saying emes v'yatziv, which contains the alternative reference to yitzias mitzrayim. Therefore, you're left with the yitzias mitzrayim in kriyashma, making it doraisa. Vigam yesh svarim gorsim shiny tfila de les bo malchus shamayim. There are texts that have this comment in it, that tfila, the Balkari, is not mahara because it doesn't have in it malchus shamayim. Vare birchas hamozon de les bo malchus shamayim utnan al hamozon mevorech lacharov. Ella, that's the girsa that they have, which features this give and take, where tefila doesn't have machus shemayim in it, and then that gives rise to the question of what about birchas hamazon that doesn't have machus shemayim in yet, the Balkari is maharer on birchas hamazon. Ella, haynu taimo, the kriyashma is bo machus shemayim, ubirchas hamazon do raisa. Utfilo de Rabbonon. That's, as we say, another girsa. That Kriyashma's uniqueness is that it has Malchus Shemayim in it. Birchas Hamazon is Doraisa, and Tfilo, which the Balkari is not Mahara, is purely de Rabbonon. The Gam al Girsa Zu Koshe Kidaprishis. Well, this girsa also has in it the same problem that we raised before, because according to this girsa, Kriyashma is not portrayed as something which is Doraisa. And yet, Rashi explained on the Mishnah that the Balkari, since he's not saying emes v'yatziv, his kriyashma is de oraisa. So with that, we conclude our Tosfos Shiur for today.